The scripture, the first scripture is from Psalm 147, verses 12 to 20. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion, for he strengthens the bars of your gates. He blesses your children within you. He grants peace within your borders. He fills you with the finest of wheat. He sends out his command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters frost like ashes. He hurls down hail like crumbs. Who can stand before his cold? He sends out his word and melts them. He makes his wind blow and the waters flow. He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and ordinances to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any other nation. They do not know his ordinances. Praise the Lord. The next reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1 to 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." Amen.
Thank you, Lynn. Last week, I began the message by sharing with all of you that I chose the far more difficult of two scriptures to interpret. Hopefully that didn't backfire on me last week. At least there weren't too many complaints. But this week, I'm going to continue this theme of preaching on the more difficult of two scriptures. The liturgical calendar for this Christmas Sunday has two choices for the preacher. One is the narrative of the Magi coming from the east to visit the Christ child. It's probably the last of the Christmas season narratives before Epiphany. But I because it's a story, it's sort of easier to preach on. And this Sunday I will not, but I will make mention this story of the Magi. The more difficult reading this morning is the opening words, or what one might refer to as the overture of the Gospel of John. In fact, yesterday, as I prepared for this message, the United Church of Christ lectionary guide even suggests that this sort of transcendent, ethereal, highly philosophical passage of John is perhaps too immense for preaching. And they actually recommend that we don't. Yet, just like last week, I think that's giving all of you too little credit. And this morning, I believe very strongly that these opening words of John speak to us about this table and speak to the relevance of Christ's presence with us this morning in this worship service at this table around which we will soon gather. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I hope that you can sense with those very first three words, in the beginning, that the author of John, in describing who Jesus or the Word is trying to bring us back to the start. To the very beginning, in the beginning. And as soon as you hear these three words, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, should be ringing in your hearts and minds. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 says, God exists. And all things, all of creation came into being through God. So, yes, God was there in the beginning. But God, throughout the human experience, until we get to the Christmas story, was somewhat distant. God was somewhat mysterious. God was really quite other than Adam and Eve. Humans and God were separate. Throughout the Hebrew scriptures, God was powerful. God was a protector. Yes, and sometimes uncomfortably a punisher. But God was distinctly other. Remember back to your Old Testament stories, God could not even be seen without dying. Remember, Moses could just sort of use his peripheral vision only as God sort of passed by, and it was actually only God's backside that could possibly be glimpsed. Not even Moses could see God face to face. Remember, God moved in a pillar of cloud during the day, and at night in a pillar of fire during the Exodus. God was always distant. God could only be communed with at the top of a mountain. Remember, few a precious few could enter into the tent of the tabernacle. And then when the temple was built, only the high priest, I think once a year, could enter into the Holy of Holies, where it was understood that God dwelt. In fact, the temple was actually just an architectural series of walls upon walls upon walls, with the sole purpose of separating God from the people, because nothing unclean, which we all are as sinners, could approach God. And then as we continue through the Hebrew scriptures, God's people are always in this sort of epic historical struggle to obey. And of course, they always disobey. They fail. And then they try to placate. And we have sacrifices upon sacrifices upon sacrifices. Then they try to obey. And then they disobey. They fail again. And then the whole cycle of placating just happens again. And then if we continue through the Hebrew scriptures, the people they're punished by God. And then they're comforted. And that's what we heard in the psalm. But then inevitably they're punished again. And then they're comforted again. And to be honest, this whole relationship between God and human beings seems extremely dysfunctional in the Hebrew scriptures. The relationship is weak. If we continue all the way to the end of the Hebrew scriptures, it goes to the extent that God and people are actually injured by each other. If you read the prophet Hosea, God agonizes as if a spouse is committing adultery when he thinks about his children, his own people. God agonizes over an adulterous people, and that's personified by Gomer, Hosea's wife. Gomer, or the people, are miserable. Hosea, or God, is miserable. They both love each other, but the distance is too great. Then in John, chapter 1, verse 1. The Word, or God, or the wisdom of God, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And everything changed with these words. God, through Emmanuel, becomes close to the people. And not just close. It's exactly what Abby said this morning. They actually become the same. God and the people become intimate. God and the people become imbricated. God and we, the people, become grafted. We become one, as Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus is Emmanuel, or God with us. Or if we take to heart what Abby explained to the children this morning, it is God in us. Friends, Jesus is the Word, and the Word is God. Jesus embodied God, or the wisdom of God. In Jesus, God is human, and hence, therefore, God is close. God is no longer distant. And for the first time, God can be seen. God can be heard. God can be touched. God can be fully experienced. But the word was not recognized by the world. It says in John chapter 1, verse 10, but the world did not recognize him. The word was really only understood by a precious few who wished to be closer to God and who were not attached to the world. Now, note, the criteria to recognize the word was not in one's high moral standard. Notice, the scribes and the Pharisees were the most moral ones of the day, and the New Testament points out they were the last, if ever, to recognize the word. So our morality is not a precondition for us recognizing the word. In fact, very strangely, it may prevent us from recognizing the word. In fact, it was sinners who first recognized the word. The criteria was not health. And remember, in the Hebrew scriptures, those who were healthy were seen to be blessed by God. And health was not even a criteria. The sick and the diseased recognized God first. It also was not citizenship. For those who were foreigners, the Samaritans, the Syrophoenician women, or, I'm not preaching on it this morning, but the Magi from the east, they recognized the word. And the king of the Jews, Herod, did not. And the scribes and the Pharisees did not. So citizenship has no place in determining who is in and who is not in the kingdom of God. The Magi were foreigners. They were Gentiles. They were considered unclean by birth, religion, and culture. So thank you for being interfaith, Abby. The Magi were not Jews. They were not part of the chosen ones. And it was not wealth that made people recognize the word. In fact, those who had wealth and comfort were the last to recognize the word, if they did at all. So if we go down this little list I've just run us through, I am in huge trouble. I am a cleric. I consider myself moral. I am male. I am able-bodied. I carry a U.S. passport. I am of means, and I live a comfortable middle-class lifestyle. Judging by who recognized the word, I don't really stand much of a chance of recognizing the word. But I have hope. Because those who recognize the word are simply the ones who seek God's will and desire to be close to God. And that included the rich, and it included the healthy. It included the chosen one. It included men. and it even included Pharisees. But they were the last to recognize. It is through Jesus that we are able to know God's will most clearly. And it is through Jesus that we are able to be close to God. So close that we can eat with God. At this table to which Jesus invites us. We are close around this table. We are intimate. We are next to and we are with. But more than that, through this bread and through this wine, God actually enters into us, and we enter into God. If it's even just for a glimpse, if it's even just for a moment, we are in God. God is in us. We are the same creator and created are reunited. And all of that that was distant becomes close. All that was remote becomes known. It is at the table that we become reconciled to God. So, friends, I conclude with this. The term Christ is actually a title, not a name. It is certainly not a last name. Christ means Messiah or the Anointed One. It means, in another word, and this is the one I'm going to use this morning, Christ means deliverer. Deliverer. Jesus, the human, delivers God to us. Jesus delivers us to God. This then is food delivery on a cosmic scale. This is the Word of God. That's the Word of God. And it's delivered to the people of God, who all of you are. And the people of God responded. Amen.